Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer's already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness in the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These few verses from Jeremiah a part of a more extended narrative. Jeremiah is in prison because he says that God said that Jerusalem's going to fall and the king's going to be taken away and people are going to die. And the king says, "Why are you saying this kind of bad stuff?" So apparently, it's hard for you to believe this, I'm sure, but apparently there was a time when if you didn't only preach happy messages, they got unhappy with you. So fundamentally what Jeremiah said to him is, "Well, the reason I'm telling you all this stuff is because it's true. It's true. And it's all going to come down, and there are going to be bodies piled up in the city." Now, in the midst of that, God has him buy some land, because along with death, there's this preaching of hope and resurrection, which we see today. Jeremiah echoes what's said before, that the Messiah is coming, and God is going to rule his people through that Messiah. He's saying that exile and destruction is soon to come, but better days are coming after that. Jesus Christ is those better days. What Jesus says in Luke chapter 19 through verse 21, and once again we have a small snippet, Jesus rides into town and they're singing Psalm 118, which we all know from Palm Sunday, and they're singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus arrives there, gets off the donkey and starts crying. And he's crying because he said, "You all failed to recognize who I am. You have failed to see I am the Messiah." Now, he doesn't say the exact words, but that's what he means. "And because you did not see, not one stone is going to be left on another." God's plan was for Jerusalem to receive the Messiah. God's plan was ruined by human sin. So instead, Jesus says, because of your failure, God's plan to bring blessing is not going to take place. Instead, doom and destruction. Then Jesus goes in the temple, has a lot of conflicts and all that, culminating in him seeing a little widow putting her money, her last cent, and into treasury. And he is so furious. This is connected with the destruction of the temple. And we're so stupid, we think it's a good image for unconditional giving. Every church, I mean, think about how many Christian churches says, the widow's mite. You got to give. Got to give your last cent. We say to people who don't give their last cent on the back of a widow, because we don't read the Bible, we don't notice that the purpose of the church is to take care of widows and orphans, the poor and the needy. That's our job. And instead, we're holding up as an example of giving when we take the last, squeeze the last penny out of some widow. Do you not see the insanity of that? It's insane. And yet every church in America is going to be talking about around this time of year. Next year, make your pledge. Be like the widow. Well, Jesus said the temple's going to be destroyed because of that. Well, maybe that might make sense to what's going on in the church today. These are dark days. Jesus goes on to tell his disciples, you're going to be persecuted and suffer for my sake, because of my name. Now you go home and check your baptismal certificate for the fine print. Because we grew up in the world in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, you couldn't run for political office unless if you were a church member. And it better be the right church. And if you said, I don't believe in God, you couldn't get elected. Well, guess what's happened here in recent times? Now you're going to have to say, I don't buy into that church stuff. And what are you going to do when the society flips? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But Jesus says you need to understand what's taking place on that cross in terms of, and he uses apocalyptic language, which is symbolic language. And it's symbolic language because it applies to every place and time. What happened on Calvary may be the pinnacle of it, but you and I are living through it today the way our great-grandparents lived it through their day, and the people in the 1600s lived through their days, etc., etc. The world is under the powers, the heavenly powers, which are sun and moon and stars. Perhaps you heard this beautiful voice singing about the day when the stars fall from the sky. It is impossible for stars to fall from the sky, right? There is no sky for them to fall in. Stars are millions of miles away. And by the way, if they got near planet Earth, we would be incinerated because they're on fire. They're just balls of fire. Except that's not what the Bible's teaching you. It's not teaching you about the stars that you learn about in astronomy class. It's talking about the principalities and powers. The stars are sacraments. Sacraments. In and through which we can see that there are powers, spiritual powers at work in the world which control things. Demonic hands which make sure that Adolf Hitler doesn't get assassinated time after time after time. You put a bomb in the room, someone moves the suitcase. I mean, it's like, how did that happen? There are forces at work in every day and every time using human beings to accomplish their goals. And what Jesus said is, they're going to fall down. He also said people are going to almost drop dead from fear going through those times. Now, I'm supposed to at this point say, oh, don't worry, that'll never happen to us. There will never be riots in our streets. There will never be people killed in our streets. Never worry about that. And don't worry about the economy because everything's going to be perfect. There's never going to be a shortage of anything, folks. The food will always be there. When you go to Kroger, whatever you're looking for, it's always going to be there. Does that make you happy? Now you like me. Finally, he's preaching something I want to hear. Jesus said, you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. And I was taught in seminary that Jesus expected the end of the world, and he was wrong. Poor Jesus. That's why we like him, but we don't call him God. He's just a good man. And a large number of people now say Jesus sinned. Did you know that? Even people who claim to be Christians say Jesus sinned. Why? Because he just didn't know everything. And guess what he didn't know about? All the politically correct stuff today. Jesus would never have called God our Father if he was alive today. He would know how awful that is. God is not a father. And you have an issue, Jeff Marks, because you use the word Father when you talk about God. You have an issue. Well, let me tell you what happened in Acts chapter 1. Jesus ascended to heaven. He was received in the cloud. And when he ascended to heaven, he became the King of the universe. It happened in their lifetime. Jesus actually knew what he was talking about. And by the way, he went up to see God, his Father. Who's also described as a mother? I have no problems with that. But I'm not going to say Jesus is wrong. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it. Jesus rules in heaven now, and he's every bit as invisible behind the clouds today as he was in that time. But he will return. And what he told you and me to do, and it's very interesting because I never talk about this. Like, go through my collection of my best sermons on drunkenness. I never preach on drunkenness. I never preach on drinking, ever. And twice Jesus says, don't get drunk and don't be dissipation. And I looked up dissipation because I didn't know what it meant. You can laugh that you have a guy up here who doesn't even know what the words in the Bible mean, but I didn't know it. And it basically means being drunk. Jesus said, don't be drunk. And then the reading this morning in 1 Thessalonians talked about they're drinking at night. Don't be drunk. And I started thinking about all the times the Bible says, don't be drunk. So I'm going to tell you, don't get drunk. So I'm going to do a special announcement right now. We just found out that we're not allowed to bring alcohol to St. Andrew's night because the VFW doesn't allow it. And if you know, I'm not much of a drinker, so I'm not against drinking. I just don't do much. I didn't understand how important it was that people had a glass of wine at this. So I'm going to tell you, I really don't care how important wine is to you. Don't come to St. Andrew's night if you can't go 3 hours without wine. We're not allowed to have it. But I do find it ironic that we're talking about this when Jesus is saying what he's saying about drinking. And maybe we need to ask ourselves the question, how big a role is alcohol playing in our lives? And I know from counseling how alcohol messes people's lives up, and there's people here who could stand up and give you horror stories. Alcohol is a blessing from the Lord, but it's also bad stuff. But then on the other hand, Jesus said, don't get so tied up worrying about success, the worries and anxieties of life. Now, some of you hit bingo, right? Because you said, well, I got both of them. I worry all day, and then I come home and drink all night. You know, it's like... And in fairness, Jesus sends mixed messages with that whole water thing at the party, right? I mean, it's not like... And they call Jesus a drunk, which really kind of... I guess that's why I don't preach on it much, because it's so convoluted. But basically, here's what Jesus is saying. Don't avoid life, and don't be so overwhelmed by life that you can't focus on what matters, which is being ready for Jesus' return. Being ready. And what he tells us to do is pray. And he says pray for strength. And I didn't even catch it because I didn't preach on it. Strength, may he, this is Paul praying for you. May he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before God. Like, that's the goal. To be faithful in holiness, strong in holiness, so that when God comes, you can be in his presence. Well, then Jesus says, pray that you may have the strength to escape all these things. One of my favorite things is describing what the Lord's Prayer is. Like, we always say, lead us not into temptation, right? And what we mean is, don't let me think bad things about people, or don't let me get mad and stuff. But actually the word also means test or trial. And probably if we were translating what Jesus is really saying, Jesus says, pray for the kingdom to come, and then pray that you can escape what's going to happen when the kingdom comes. Because there's going to be hell to pay on earth. And pray that you can escape. Because you're not strong enough. We can't handle it. We can't handle what's coming. I can't handle it, and you can't handle it. I will fold up like a house of cards. And I'm probably as committed as any person in here. We can't handle what's coming our way in the next 2 decades. So that's the bad news. but God can handle it, and that's the good news. That's the good news. Rely on God. Jesus says, pray. Don't get drunk. Don't get all worried about life. Understand all those powers out there that look like they're not ever coming down. The heavens are going to shake and they're coming down. They will be defeated. Human authority and spiritual authorities will be defeated. So don't be afraid, because it doesn't rely on you. You not being strong enough doesn't matter. All right? It's like the builder tells the spool of tape as he's building the house, don't worry, little buddy, this ain't your job. We got concrete to take care of this. So you go just be the spool of tape, and you just take care of the paper. And that's what God's saying to us. You don't worry about this, little buddy. I got it. And that's why Advent, Happy New Year. And by the way, Lucia, this is beautiful. I noticed it. I know you're going to pass out that I noticed something, but I didn't notice it. I came and I said, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But look, I love, this is kind of an image of us, guys. I mean, that's what's coming. The Alpha and Omega is coming. So this is grand, great, 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 great news. We're celebrating the coming of Jesus the next 4 weeks. We're going to focus on the coming of Jesus in our prayer. Read the morning prayers. You're going to see lots of stuff about the end of things and the beginning of things. And that's what we're going to do. And he's going to keep coming and singing. She's going to keep playing. And we're going to keep worshiping God. Amen.